Hey y'all, this is the first episode of Truth Therapy. My name is Ingrid, and honestly y'all, I can't believe that this is happening. So this is the first episode of this podcast, and y'all, I know I just said it, but this is crazy. Finally being obedient to what God needs me to do. And here I am. There's no long introduction really needed. My name is Inya Kleber. I'm from Miami, Florida. And honestly, like, I'm not into titles. I am just whatever God needs me to be in whatever season. So today we are going to be talking about purpose. Now, purpose is such a believer's constant question, I would say. Like, being a believer, getting into God, everybody wants to know what their purpose is. And we individually want to find out what our purpose is, not knowing that we actually all have the same purpose on this earth. When God made Adam and Eve, he gave them their purpose in the beginning. And recently, I actually started. So just a little background story on how this topic started. This year, I actually started KEU with Tiffany Montgomery, and she basically has us doing assignment for the class. And one of the questions that she asked was, what is our purpose? Like, what's the purpose? Like, what is our purpose? And she didn't necessarily give us the answer, but it was a question to really think about. And I've come to a point in my walk knowing that we all have different assignments, but God has one purpose for us as a whole. So I'm just gonna basically, like, go through, you know, what our purpose is. Like, what's the purpose? Why are we here? Like, I know we all, you know, wonder about that question, that very question of, dang God, like, why am I here? Like, what do you have for me to do? Like, why am I here on this earth today? The title of this episode is called What's Our Purpose? Now, when I was going through that question, I actually went to the beginning. Everything always goes back to the beginning. Like, you have to know what God did in the beginning. So we're gonna start in Genesis 1 verse 28. Now, God, just a little quick synopsis of what happened in the beginning when God came and created. Now, in chapter 1, it basically goes through what God did in the beginning. And when he came, the earth, in verse 2, it says that the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then it continues to say everything that God spoke into existence. Now, after he created night, after he created day, after he basically created boundaries for the waters and the heavens and things like that, he created the man and the woman. In verse 20, we're gonna actually start on verse 26. It says, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, and he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Now, y'all, honestly, I'ma just keep it real. Like, knowing that we all have the same purpose, I don't think I really dived deep into what that one purpose was. Like, I felt like it was like something that we all should know, but it's like, did I ever get down to exactly what it was? And I feel like that day, going through that question, it really made me dive deeper into what our purpose is. And yes, we are here to be vessels to God and to bring souls into the kingdom. But when he created man and women, he created them to be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and have dominion. So I'm like, okay, God, I got it. But I also went to Genesis 9 verse 7. Genesis 9 verse 7 basically says, "And as for you, be fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply in it." This verse basically reiterates what we just read. Now, I like, when I'm in my word, sometimes I like to really dive deep, really go into definitions, go into like what certain things mean, because it could even be the simplest word that I feel like we all should know. Sometimes I just have to research it just to make sure I understand what that word means. So I also went into the Message version, if I'm not mistaken, where the Message version, if you didn't read the Message version yet, it's really straight to the point. So Genesis 1 verse, we're gonna go to 26 and read it. Instead of saying, "Be ye fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply therein, or replenish the earth and subdue it," it says, "God bless them, prosper, reproduce, fill earth, take charge, be responsible for fish in the sea and birds in the air, for every living thing that moves on the face of the earth." Sometimes I have to just know, like, sometimes I have to go through different translations to make sure, you know, I understand exactly what it's saying. Now, in the beginning, the enemy was kicked out of heaven and he was roaming the earth. When God came to create, there was darkness on the earth. So what did God do? He created us so we can manage to take over, distributing himself all throughout the earth, taking over the trap. So basically, earth was already here, but it was without form. Now, on the earth, the enemy, when he was kicked out of heaven, he came and this is where he was basically dwelling. So darkness, the Bible literally says that darkness was on the face of the earth. And God came and he said, "Let there be light." He commanded the light. He commanded the day and the night. He commanded everything. So I looked up the word subdue. Subdue means to overcome, quieten, or bring under control. Now, when I read that, it's just like, wow, like, God told us to subdue the earth, basically to come and to overcome and to bring under control. Because imagine the enemy on the face of the earth and he's just doing him, like, he's basically doing him. And God is like, no, like, this cannot happen. So what did he do when he created us? He created us to fill the earth. Like, he created us to fill the earth, to inhabit the earth. That was one part of what God said that we had to do, like, here on earth. Now, I went to Matthew 12 verse 33 in the Message version. And it basically says, if you grow a healthy tree, you'll pick healthy fruit. If you grow a diseased tree, you'll pick warm eating fruit. The fruit tells you about the tree. Now, another thing that God told the man and the woman to do was to be fruitful. Now, if you break down the word fruitful, it is fruitful. Being fruitful is to be very productive, producing fruit in abundance, being prolific, bearing children, not barren. So with this, in Matthew 12 verse 33, as I was reading it, it's just like, wow, like the fruit tells you basically about the tree. If it's a good fruit, it will bear good fruit. If it's a bad fruit, it would bear evil fruit. When we produce good fruit, we produce God fruit. So God didn't just create the man and the woman to be like, okay, y'all here, and this is, y'all have dominion, like y'all have free will, y'all basically could do what y'all want to do, because God is not interested in prisoners. So not only did he give them dominion, but he also told them to be fruitful and multiply. Now, when you're fruitful, you are basically bearing much fruit. And there's so much instances in the Bible where if something wasn't growing, it was basically useless. And there's an instance in the Bible where Jesus, when he was actually roaming on the earth and he saw a tree that wasn't producing fruit, basically there was a tree that was dead. It was basically not producing what it needed to produce. So we're gonna go to Mark 11 verse 12 says, now the next day when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And his disciples heard it. Man, when I say, like, just thinking about the word, it's so many instances where it talks about something not bearing fruit and it being useless. Now, we're actually going to skip over to verse 20. Now, in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will always have whatever he says. I kind of went a little too far, but in that instance, that tree was not bearing any fruit, so God cursed the tree. Now, God is telling us to be fruitful and to multiply. Like, when I think of that, I think of just the fact that that means that we have to constantly be producing. And it could be in so many different ways, like as far as where God places us to be, whether it's us multiplying in numbers, us multiplying as believers in numbers, wherever we are placed, wherever God places us in, it's with our fruit allowing other fruit to also to be born. So it's like the fruits of the spirit, us being very productive in the kingdom, us producing fruit in abundance, us. Even one of the definitions of being fruitful was bearing children, not being barren. Us basically multiplying on the earth, us not being barren, whether it's in our gifts, whether it's in children, whether it's in whatever. God just needs us to keep growing, to keep multiplying, because when he put us on this earth, he needed us. He needed to use us. But God, honestly, God don't need us. Let's be clear. Like, God don't need us. But because he doesn't go against his word, we are vessels in the kingdom to subdue the earth. So he needs us to be available. He needs us to basically be doing what he is calling us to do. And I know it's not easy. especially speaking for myself, like I be kicking and screaming, I be stubborn, I be like, God, I don't know why you want me to do this and all this other stuff. But if we aren't being fruitful, if we aren't producing, if even there's another scripture where it says, like, basically in short, that if the branch is not bearing fruit, it is basically cast off, it's cast away into the fire. And it's not only talking about leaves, it's not only talking about the branch, but because we are the branches of the vine, which Jesus Christ is the vine and God the Father is the vine dresser, us as branches, we need to be producing. Because if we're not producing in the kingdom, we aren't representing who God is. If Jesus is the vine and we aren't producing, then we cannot really be from him, because Jesus is always producing. God is always producing. He's creating, and he's trying to use us as vessels to continue that. So us just sitting on our behind, speaking for me, like, this is really for me, like, saying, oh my gosh, why, God? I don't want to go through this. I don't want to do this. Why do I have to do this? Why do I have to go through this? And it's like, aside from sin and us battling with sin, we're battling ourselves and we're battling God at the same time. Our sinful nature is battling God. So it's really a war within ourselves, but there's a war outside that God is basically counting on us, and we can't fold. Like, we can't fold in this season. So just being aware of our purpose, just being aware of why God even put us on this earth. Like, when God basically put us on this earth to multiply, to produce, and to have dominion. We have dominion. We ain't just here to be conquered. God gave us dominion on this earth. Yes, the enemy, he is the prince of the air. Yes, he influences our decisions. He influences the world. But God has given us dominion on this earth over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. That's what he said. He blessed the man and the woman. It's like, when you really think about it, it's like, okay, darkness was trying to take over. Darkness was trying to call the earth home, and God was not having it. He was not having it. So he created us, and we can't sit down, fold our hands, and sit on this. Because listen, the enemy is really, he's really trying to take over the systems of this world. And if we don't rise up, the word says that creation is moaning and waiting on us. If I could find that exact verse, but it's waiting and groaning to see the manifestations of basically the sons of God. It's time for us to rise up. It's time for us to level up. Because when I think of multiplication, I also think of, and this will probably be like another topic, but it's really levels to this. Like, we got to keep going. And today I was thinking, like, man, like, we be so complacent. We be so comfortable in something that we're doing, that when God tells us to move, we're not able to move, not knowing that he needs us to keep on going. Like, he don't need us stuck in one place. Because when you're stuck in one place, you're not able to multiply. You're not able to basically continue to replenish the earth. You're not able to be fruitful because you're stuck in this one thing. You're not being very productive. And this takes me back to the talents. And I'm just going to basically sum this up. But this was a parable in the Bible where the parable was, the master gave his servant talents. To one he had gave 5 talents. To another he gave 2. And to another he gave 1. When he gave them talents, he came back to see what they did with them talents. The person that had 5 talents came back and multiplied. He multiplied. He went and traded with the same and made them. He made 5 other talents. The one with the 2, he came back and he made another 2. The one that had 1, he went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and reckoneth with them. Now, for the person with the 5 talent, It says, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler of many things. For the person with the two talents, he said the same thing that, like, basically, well done, good and faithful servant. To the one talent, the person with the one talent said, I knew thee that thou art in hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and answered, and I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. So basically he's like, okay, I took the talent that you gave me. And you know what? Like, I hid it. Like, I digged it. Look, like, you got your talent back. Like, you got the one that you gave me back. And y'all know what he said to him? Thou wicked and slothful servant. Okay, wait, y'all. Listen. Oh, this is like, I was reading from the heavy version. But his Lord answered him and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. Now, this is basically an example of to multiply and be fruitful. The person with the one talent did not fulfill what he had to do. He did not fulfill the assignment. Like, the purpose was not for him to hide it, but to multiply it. But he did the exact opposite. That's like God saying, depart from me, I do not know you. And it's like God giving you something and you're saying, God, I'm not gonna do anything with this. I'm actually, this one talent, I'ma just do this, or I'ma just not do it at all. And it's like, if you're doing that, then you're not fulfilling purpose. As it says in the word, like, if you're not producing fruit, you will be cast out. And I believe it says, like, I don't think for verbatim it says fire, but when you're thrown out, you're thrown out and you're available to any devourer that comes. And it all basically just ties into each other, man. Like, the replenishing and the being fruitful and being and to multiply. When God told Noah, when God was mad at the world, and Noah was the only person that he actually spoke to, and he was like, you know, because of you, I'm gonna have you build this boat. I'm gonna have you build Noah's Ark. He told him specific instructions on how to build it. And that's a whole nother thing in itself. But he basically told him how to build it. But when he was gonna wipe the face of the earth, you know what God made sure that was in that boat? He made sure that there were two of every kind of beasts, basically, like animals, like whether it was beasts of the field or the birds of the air. Like, he made sure he had male and a female. That he made sure he had two of those, so that when he should dry the earth from basically wiping it out, they will be able to reproduce again. Like, if you look in the Bible and you really, like, pay attention, it's really about multiplication. It's really about filling the earth. It's really about doing what God tells us to do. It's really about taking what God gives us and making more, like, or just doing more with it. And I don't know if people could relate to this, like, how many people could relate to this, but I'm an entrepreneur, I'm a creative, and look, like, I done tried a lot of things to see, basically, you know, like, what my niche is. But I'm starting to realize that I don't think it really stops. Like, I feel like it just is really only up. So you could be something today, and God take you to something higher. He takes you to something bigger, and it's like, what? Like, I didn't even see this. Like, I just wanted to be a designer, or I just wanted to be this, or I just only saw myself as a writer, I only saw myself as a real estate agent, I only saw myself as this. Like, but God be like, I have more for you. Like, God needs us to really come in and take over the trap like he did. So I just really wanted to come on here and just talk about our purpose and what our purpose is, so that we don't go through life, you know, feeling lost. Because I feel like a lot of us, at one point in our walk or in one point of our journey, whether it's now, whether it was before, we always like, man, what's my purpose? Because, you know, like you might look around, you might look to the next person and be like, dang, it look like they got it all figured out. It look like God told them what it is that they need to do. And then it's like you come to realize that we all have one purpose on this earth. Like we're all here for the purpose that God has for us. And it's one purpose. It is only one purpose. We all have different assignments, but we all have one purpose. We may be going through battles. We may be going through things in our life that are tough. But I think what would be so hard for us to keep in mind is the fact that this is a fixed fight. And God is just, he's really growing like his people. He's growing, like he's really trying to multiply. Like God is the CEO of our lives. We're just the managers. Like we're just managing what he gives us. So and one of the definitions that I had was that we are stewards. We are the word steward means to manage or look after. We're basically here to look after the earth. We're here to look after what God created. Like the enemy may be having influence, he may be having the world systems, he may be creating these waves in the world, and it may be looking like God is losing, it may be looking like believers are losing. But in reality, it's like when we multiply, when we go out, when we speak the word of God, when we walk into our assignments, when we walk into our calling, when we walk into what God has called us to do, we are working hand in hand with God. We are fulfilling what he told us to do in the beginning, which was to multiply and to be fruitful and to replenish the earth and to basically subdue it and to have dominion. Like we are here to have dominion. We are not here to lay down. We are not here to sleep. We are not here to allow the enemy to corrupt this earth. Like, and it's already won. Like the battle has already, the war, like our battles may be hard, but the war has already been won. And the enemy knows that, and he just wants us to just slip up. He wants us to slip up. He wants us to not know who God has called us to be. He wants us to not know who God is. He wants us to just fold. And at the end of the day, when you fold, you're allowing the enemy to win a soul. God is trying to multiply. He's trying to not only subdue or not only want us to multiply or replenish this earth, but he wants heaven. He wants the people that's going to be in heaven. He wants the numbers to multiply. God basically, he wishes that none shall perish. So while we are here, we have to multiply in the kingdom. We have to continue to just do what he is calling us to do. And one last thing that I wanted to say that I had written down was that nothing can be successfully done without love. That's what the enemy is missing. And that is when Jesus, I believe, Jesus basically reiterated the two things, that the two most important commandments on this earth, which was to love God with all our heart, all our mind, and all our, just with everything in us, to love God and to also love our neighbors. Now, you can know what God wants you to do in this season. You can know what God needs you to do, but we have to do it with love. Like we have to do everything with love. And Paul says it in Corinthians when he says that, you know, you can have all these gifts, you can do all these things, but if it's without love, it is nothing. It is nothing. So above all else, may we love, may we do these things with love, because that is what the enemy is missing. He could do what he wants to do, but one thing that the enemy does not have is love. When you don't have love in you, when you're doing what God is telling you to do, you are not on the right side of the field. And without love, everything eventually crumbles. It's evil and it ultimately leads to death. And listen, like, we just need to stay prayed up. We just need to stay in God's words. We need to build a relationship with God most of all, so that we can know what it is that he is calling us to do. And may we know that there is only one purpose. There is only one purpose, and everything is done for the purpose and for the glory of God. So I hope that this encourages somebody. I hope that this made sense to somebody. And I am just, I'm grateful. Whew. Y'all, I don't know what I'm doing. And y'all might hear me say this a few times, but I don't know what I'm doing. But God sees it fit for me to do this podcast, and Lord knows where this will take me. But y'all pray for me, as I pray for you guys. And I just, this is basically the end of the podcast. This is basically the end of this episode. I will be putting some links in the description box for you guys to follow me, and some the scripture notes. I'm new to this, so I don't really know the lingo like that. But I just pray that God encounters you and you experience God in a new way, and that you see his word in a different light. Love you guys. Hope to, I'll talk to you guys soon. Bye.